started something good. Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Grief Chat with your host, Donna Mathewitz. And we are thrilled to be chatting with her on the phone on this very cold day in February. But I know that she's going to give us some good things to talk about and to ponder and think about. Donna, how have you been?
Well, I've been just fine. Getting through the winter and, appreciating today as we record this, appreciating the sunshine, even though, you know, the temperatures aren't warm, but we realized we were out for a little bit this morning. It's like, you know, it's not bad. There's no wind and the sun is shining, and it's actually kind of pretty out there. So, yeah.
You know, the sun really does make a difference, and I don't know if it's just my personality, but because I've talked to other people about, do you feel better when the sun is out? I certainly do. Is there something to that, do you think, Donna?
Oh, I think so. I mean, and there's, of course, you know, for people who really are affected, the whole, you know,
seasonal disorder.
Seasonal disorder, which I think is real, you know, because for myself, I noticed, it, you know, after a couple days in a row, 2-3 days of clouds, I feel it. It's like, I need some light here. And, I know I'm in a better frame of mind when the sun is shining for me, for sure.
Do you think because of all the grief you have gone through and all the grief work you've done, you recognize in yourself when you are feeling kind of down versus maybe some people don't have that ability?
Yeah, I think you're right on that, Mo. I believe if we stop and I talk a lot about identifying what am I feeling, you know, and what's got me feeling like this today. And for me, after 3 days of clouds, I think I need some sun. That's what's wrong with me today. So, but yeah, I think, you know, we can relate to those things, and maybe, and hopefully for those of us that have experienced, you know, some real difficult seasons in our life, we hopefully are more aware, because we need to be, because we need to be able to, spot what it is and give it a name, and then, kind of go backwards from that and go, okay, where did this come from? Because there can be a lot of things. It can feel sad. People can feel, you know, they feel some anger building up. They are resentful. They're lonely. They're feeling abandoned. And why? And it doesn't always mean that it comes from the greatest source of their difficulty, but it could have been some other smaller thing that triggers some of those familiar feelings as well.
Like no sun.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I have to tell you a funny story about my dog. Whenever I can't find him, I always walk around the house, and I'm telling you, wherever there is light streaming in on a nice sunny day, that's where he is. He's just laying in the sun, and it just makes me chuckle, because I feel the same way about the sun, and I would give anything just to lay down next to him, but you know, you can't do that every day.
Well, when you can, you should, Mo.
Thank you.
Can,
I like that, Donna. So,
I give you permission to spoon with your dog in the sun. How about that?
Okay, well, that happens more often than I care to admit.
Well,
I know. Donna, tell us what we're going to chat about today. This show is called Grief Chat, and as usual, we are giggling during Grief Chat because, boy, grief is just all over the place, isn't it?
It is. And you know, I want people to learn that if you laugh once in a while, it does not at all discredit the sadness that you have deep inside you for someone you've lost. So laughter, it even says in the Bible, laughter is good medicine, right? So we'll go with that. And it is good medicine. Because don't we feel better after a really good laugh, you know? And sometimes we feel better after a good cry, too. So it can go either way. But today I thought we'd talk about choices. You know, I often say in groups I've spoken with that I, and particularly those that are actually coming to a grief support group that I wish I could, that I had the power to hand out a pink slip that said for the next 12 to 18 months, you are free of any obligations or accountability in life. Because, that's really what we could use, I guess, give us some time to catch our breath and get back on the crazy merry-go-round of life. But what we also know to be true is that it doesn't work like that out there. The people out there who don't understand, or maybe their loss has been a long time ago and they've really forgotten what it was about those first, because really grief is still considered fresh and raw for, like I said, 12 to 18 months. You know, we would consider anyone in that time frame still in the throes of deep grief. But I can't hand out those pink slips, and it's not reality. But so we are left then to choose, to make choices of how we will continue to, you know, stumble and move one foot in front of the next day by day, and some days more gracefully than others. That's just the reality of it. You know, it makes me recall a time, and this is something I have written in my book, is about this, I call it the fork in the road. So I was driving back from Apple Valley one day. This was, I don't know, months after Tim died, back in 1992. I was driving back from Apple Valley, and I came to the juncture there where, you know, 55 is heading out of Hastings, and you come up on 42, right, coming back from Apple Valley. And I sat at that stop sign. It was just like, I just felt in my spirit, you know, God saying, you know, this represents the fork in your road. Which way, left or right? And to go to the left would mean you will, that you're choosing to go down that road of becoming a bitter person, but taking a right says, I'm consciously going to make the decision, making the choice to become a better person. And so it was just, it really was that real to me, and I can still see myself, and there was no cars behind me, so I got to sit there and contemplate that for, you know, a minute or two. And I did. And, you know, I really think it was one of those many that we all have, one of those turning points that we have in life where we remember where we were when that thought came to us. You know, I guess I share that because I think other people can recognize that maybe they can recall a time. And, you know, unfortunately, some people will choose to go the other way at the fork, and their life, you know, falls at their feet in shambles because they continue to make choices that are anything but to help them become better, even though what's happened to them is terrible.
But Donna, do you think that that is part of our makeup, and that some people really are more positive in life than others?
Yeah. I totally agree with that. But even the people, if you think of some people you know who their life seems like one constant battle, and I do question sometimes, like, you know, when some people where it's like, can't they ever get a break? You know, mm-hmm. Can they never get a break? It's just like, it seems like it's one thing after another in their lives or in the life of their family close by or whatever. And it's like, I don't get that. That's one of those why questions that I guess we don't get answered here, do we? But for, I think for more people, I believe we can still choose, and, you know, and it all, you know, at the end of the day, it's still up to us, the person we see in the mirror, because no one else can make the changes for us. And I'm not talking about huge things, but I'm talking about subtle things. And it kind of goes back to, sometimes I've talked about resiliency and the self-care, and sometimes it can be, one step is to really filter out what it is you're letting into your mind. What are you reading? What are you watching on TV? I mean, I know that sounds like the things we talk to kids about, but I think it's just as true for us as adults. If all we ever take in is negativity, mm-hmm. and bad news and half-truths, you know, where we wonder who to believe, well, then what? What do we expect to come out? You know, as kids, what are we taught that, you know, if you plant carrots, you're not going to harvest peas. You're going to plant what you plant.
Right.
You know? So I really think that's just the truth. And, you know, so we've all had to make choices, and some people rise high above where they ever thought they could ever be again, and others at least make their life so it's not like I'm just serving my time here until the good Lord calls me home, kind of thing.
Donna, what is the key to that, though?
Well, I really think our environment, as I already said, you know, the negativity we're taking in. What about the people we choose to
surround ourselves with
and
right.
hang out with? I mean, talk to anyone who has gone through recovery from drugs or alcohol. I haven't myself, but I've known people that have, and I know what is one of the first things they're told is you can't go back to where you were with those people. You don't get to go to the bar anymore and hang out with the buddies that you drank with. Well, you can, but don't expect your life to move forward and pretty soon you'll be back where we started here. You know, I think that's a lot of it.
So that's some choices.
That's choices. Yeah, that's a choice. Is it easy? Probably not, because the fact that maybe you're going to start all over and form all new friendships at whatever age it is, that's tough. But the alternative sounds pretty hard too, doesn't it? So I think that's a big part of it, is associating with the people that are going to fill your cup instead of suck you dry. I think that's a lot to do with it.
You know, there could be probably in grief groups, though, a tendency you're with other people that are grieving. That's why it must be important to have a good facilitator like you, or it could become just a negative sharing event, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I've heard people say, oh, I don't know, I think going to those grief groups, I just think it would just be harder. It would just make me sadder. And, you know, truthfully, I've had people say that. Yeah, I went to one group, and I was just so sad. I couldn't sit and listen to everybody else's sad story. And I understand that. I get that, because you're thinking, I can hardly handle what I've got to think about. Now I've got to think about this couple that I met, you know, whose son died by suicide, and, you know, that one was a car accident. And I get that, but I think what I encourage people in that situation is like, well, come back, because soon you will kind of see the tide turn, and along with hearing those sad stories, you start to see people who are recovering, who are healing, and are further ahead on this journey than you, and now those people become beacons of hope for you instead.
And so that's your choice then, to go back again.
It is. Either do you want to stay home and isolate? And talk to no one, and have no one to tell your story to, because now it's been 3 months or 6 months or a year, and the folks around you don't really want to hear it anymore, because they expect that you would be all better by now. It's time for you to move on, and all the great information that people think they should be sharing with us, and we go to ourselves like, you have no idea what I'm going through. Don't tell me what you think I should do.
So what can we do to help somebody that we think is stuck or is negative? Because I would assume most people that, unless you truly, truly love somebody, it would be easier for most people to just stay away from somebody that is stuck.
That's
and
right.
sad.
That's right,
and
yeah.
That's not good for the person.
No. And as you know, I tell the people that are in grief, I'll say, you will find out, actually, who your, as I have referred to them, who your cheerleaders are, or that listening ear that you know you could call at 2 a.m. when you think you're totally going to lose it. You know, who will listen to you and who will sit quietly and not give you advice unless you ask for it. You know, we can have conversations and we can say, the listener can say, are you looking for do you just need to talk, or are you asking me for some information or some advice? Which I think is a great way to start any conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, I think of that with couples. It's like we come together and somebody's, it's like, are we fixing this? Or do you just need to be comforted?
Or are you just ranting, right?
Yeah, are you just ranting? Don't you dare tell me how I just fixed it. Because you had no idea, right? Yeah. So anyway, but to find, you will, those that cream will rise to the top in your life. And I say, you value them. If you've got even one or two people, you're far ahead of a lot of people in this world.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of people would say they have no one. I have no one. But that's why I think somehow we need to grab hold of our sadness and our negativity, if we can, if we're able, if we can find ways to help do that. Because you're right, people will scatter fast. They'll be there for a while. You know, for some it'll be days and weeks, and maybe there's some for months, you know, but to find the long haul kind of friendships. And they may come from places you never knew. It may be from somebody else who can relate to what you're going through. who you didn't know before this happened. I think that's just a lot to do with it, is, you know, deciding and saying, you know what, I'm not going to live the rest of my life this way. I'm, you know, and I remember I was 37 years old when Tim died. And I remember having that conversation in my head saying, I am way too young. If God's going to let me live for another 50 years, I can't live it the way I'm feeling now. I would rather not. You know, and for me, you know, and for us, we poured ourselves into, you know, eventually, 5 years later, helping other people. Now, not everyone's going to do that, you know, and I get that. But I think there are small ways to do great things for others, and it might be you're going to be that person in just one couple's life where you know, we have that happening with our groups. I know that the couples, they get together on their own. They go to each other's home for dinner, or they, you know, meet for coffee, or because everybody just needs someone to listen mm-hmm. and to shake their head once in a while, you know, or to say, you know, I miss him too. I just thought of another story. I thought of some other memory I just had of him. Can I tell you about it? Well, that is music to people's ears. That is something that would never get old, is to have someone remember something about your loved one that maybe you've heard it already, but you will listen again and again because it is such balm to your soul to have someone else remembering and loving your husband or your wife or your, you know, your mom or your child, whatever it is. That's what we need to hear.
And Donna, all this is hard work, though, isn't it?
It sure is. Yeah, Mo, this is, I think, the whole grieving process, the whole journey, which isn't just a week or two. It's years. And really, you know, it's really the rest of your life, which is certainly nothing positive that I feel good about telling you, but I also believe in being honest about how difficult this is going to be so that they don't expect that they should, that I should, telling themselves they should be in a different place than they are. But it is, I say, it is the hardest work you'll ever do, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. It taxes you at every turn.
Mm-hmm.
So don't wonder why you're exhausted when you feel like you have done nothing compared to the life you had before this happened. You will be exhausted.
Donna, I know you have some grief groups you want to share with people. Can you tell us?
Sure. We have two different groups. We have our general grief group, which meets on the fourth Thursday of every month at 6 o'clock. And we're back at the community ed building now in the larger room across from the gymnasium in that building at River and Fourth. And then we also have our Gone Too Soon, which is our group that is just for parents who've lost children. That is the first and third Wednesday of every month at 6:30 in the same location.
And all are welcome.
And all are welcome. Yeah, don't need to register. You know, if you want to call me first, you know, and chat with me about, so I can help you with some of your fears of how is this going to work and what does it look like, I will explain to you, you know, how we do it to set your mind at ease, hopefully, so that you will be brave and come through the door that first time. But those are the two groups, yeah.
Wonderful. Donna Mathewitz, the host of Grief Chat. And Grief Chat is heard once a month on KDWA AM 1460 and FM 97.7 in Hastings. And you are listening to In Depth. Thank you, Donna.